Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo
bhagavate vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. The creation of the fourth order. Chapter 18. Pitu Maharaj milks the earth planet. Text number 17.
Saraso Dukshan
Gandhavarap Saraso Dukshan Patre Padmam Maye Payaha Vatsam Visvas Vasum Kritva
Vatsam Visvas Vasum Kritva
Bhagam Gandhavarapsaraso Dukshan Patre Padmamaye Paya Vatsam Vivatvasam Kritva Gandharvam Madhuso Bhagam Gandharvap Saraso Dukshan Patre Padmamaye Payaha Vatsam Visvasasum Kritva Gandharvam Madhuso Bhagam Gandharva.
Gandharva.
Inhabitants of the Gandharva planet.
Inhabitants of the Gandharva planet.
Apsarasaha.
Apsarasaha.
The inhabitants of the Apsara planet.
The inhabitants of the Apsara planet.
Adukshan.
Adukshan.
Milked out.
Milked out.
Patre.
Patre.
In a pot.
In a pot.
Padmamaye.
Padmamaye.
Made of a lotus.
Made of a lotus.
Payaha.
Payaha.
Milk.
Milk.
Vatsam.
Vatsam.
Calf.
Calf.
Visvavasum.
Visvavasum.
Of the name Visvavasu.
Of the name Visvavasu.
Kritva.
Kritva.
Making.
Making.
Gandharvam.
Gandharvam.
Songs.
Songs.
Madhu.
Madhu.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Sobhagam.
Sobhagam.
Beauty.
Beauty.
The inhabitants of Gandharva Loka and Apsara Loka made Visvavasu into a calf, and they drew the milk into a lotus flower pot. The milk took the shape of sweet musical art and beauty. Text 18. Vatsena pitaro yamna kavyam chiram adukshata amapatre mahabhagaha sadaya srada devataha. The fortunate inhabitants of Pitriloka who preside over the funeral ceremonies, made Ariyama into a calf. With great faith, they milked Kavya, food offered to the ancestors, into an unbaked earthen pot. In Bhagavad Gita 9.25 it is said, Pitrin yanti pitri brataha. Those who are interested in family welfare are called Pitri Brataha. There is a planet called Pitri Loka, and the predominating deity of that planet is called Ariyama. He is somewhat of a demigod. And by satisfying him, one can help ghostly family members develop a gross body. Those who are very simple and attached to their family home, attached to their family house, village or country, do not receive a gross body made of material elements, but remain in a subtle body composed of mind, ego and intelligence. Those who live in such subtle bodies are called ghosts. This ghostly position is very painful because a ghost has intelligence, mind and ego and wants to enjoy material life. But because he doesn't have a gross material body, he can only create disturbances for want of material satisfaction. It is the duty of family members, especially the son, to offer oblations to the demigod Ariyama or to Lord Vishnu. From time immemorial in India, the son of a dead man goes to Gaya and at a Vishnu temple there offers oblations for the benefit of his ghostly father. It is not that everyone's father becomes a ghost, but the oblations of Pindar are offered to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu so that if a family member happens to become a ghost, he will be favoured with a gross body. However, if one is habituated to taking the prasad of Lord Vishnu, there is no chance of his becoming a ghost or anything lower than a human being. In Vedic civilization, there is a performance called shraddha, by which food is offered with faith and devotion. If one offers oblations with faith and devotion, either to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu or to his representative in Pitriloka, Ariyama, one's forefathers will attain material bodies to enjoy whatever material enjoyment is due them. In other words, they do not have to become ghosts. Om Agana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahayam Tadati Tva Padantikam Mokam Karoti Vachalam Lambhayati Garim Yad Kripa Tamam Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. If one is habituated to taking the prasad of Lord Vishnu, there is no chance of his becoming a ghost or anything lower than a human being. Mahaprasadam ki jaya. Despite all other failings, at least if we can honour Prasadam, we can get an opportunity to take up from where we left off in this lifetime or in previous lifetimes. Okay, so there are a couple of points, at least a couple, that we can take away from this verse. And some general comments about Vedic culture and what its purpose is. First is a recognition of one's identity. Vedic literature, it can be analysed or can be is analysed and defined or identified as being of three basic topics. Sambandha, which means the nature of one's relationship with everything, and specifically our relationship with God or with the source of everything. Then, based on understanding relationships, that then determines how one should act. Well, there's a goal to be achieved in the pursuit of our activities. And then that's abhidheya, and then prayojana means the goal, the destination, the achievement that is accessed through the process of, first of all, understanding the relationships. And then knowing the relationships, what activities one should perform in consideration of those relationships, and then the end result. What do we get out of life? What is the purpose of life? As an example. In order to understand the purpose of life, first of all, we have to know who we are. Right? So at least in a Vedic concept, in the Vedic construct, there's an understanding of identity, and that identity is beyond the material, and or shall we say it is superior to the material. The material energy in and of itself is just dull matter. And dull matter in and of itself doesn't have life. Right? You could analyze all of the chemicals in the body. Right? You can analyze all of the chemical construction of the body. But if you got all of those chemicals, right, and put them together in a bathtub and stirred them up, or whatever, you won't get life. Right. So the Vedic understanding of existence is that the identity of the individual or the individuals, our identity is something beyond the gross material elements of the body. Without that life force, or that the jivatma, the spiritual entity being present within the body, you've only got dull matter. And you know, nobody has much interest in a dead body. No. Of course, without without the body, we don't see the presentation or the manifestation of the person. So the material energy is required. But without the impetus of the living entity, all we've got is a dead body. And so the nature of material existence is such that we have a combination of both. We have a combination of the material elements, but within that material energy exists the spiritual force. And without the spiritual force, the material energy doesn't move. Right? So, in self-realization, there's an understanding of our material identity. But as a foundational principle, as a principle upon which everything else rests, the understanding of the spiritual identity is paramount. And this is what's being presented in the Bhagavatam. Especially this Achin Chiripa was telling me the other day how she went to Port Augusta on Friday. Was it Friday? Yeah, Friday. For the funeral of her brother-in-law. But when she was there, she popped in to see the mother of one of our friends that we went to school with, who's 80 plus. And she's getting close to leaving her body. So she was asking Achin Chiripa, does the soul live after death? Is there existence of the soul after death? And then Achin Chiripa was explaining to her how we see in young children the ability to play musical instruments. Right? As an example, they're 2 or 3 years old. Yeah, they'll pick up the mridanga and start playing it. And they've had no practice. This is just an example. Where do they get that from? Where does it come from? Huh? And Mrs. McKay, Val. I guess her name's Valerie. Anyway, we call her Val. So she was saying, yes, I think that's the case, you know, that we don't die. And of course, this is a big misunderstanding. And a Vedic, the literature of the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam especially, we're talking about, you know, the future of our future. But not the future of the body, but the future of the soul. Because we know what the future of the body is. What's the future of the body? Na sato vijate bhavo, na bhavo vijate sataha. Right? Of the permanent, there is no cessation. Right? And of the impermanent, there is no duration. This is in the Bhagavad Gita. The basic information of the Bhagavad Gita tells us the soul is eternal, the material body is destined to perish, right? To be finished. It comes in, we're born, we grow up, we maintain ourselves for some time, we produce byproducts, we dwindle, and then see you later, mate. Right? Off you go. So the body is impermanent. We know that. But the value of the body, the material, especially the human form of life, is so important. Huh? And here we get instructions. Prabhupada gives in this purport some of the most clearest information about ghosts. Right? What is a ghost? A ghost is a living entity who's attached to their material situation. But because of bad karma, right, they can't live in a physical form. They only exist on a subtle form. They have the desires, right? And this is the principle of karma, is that you may desire so many things, right? But if you don't deserve it, regardless of how big your desire is, if you don't deserve it, you don't get it. Huh? Just like an ant. The ant may desire to jump over the Rialto building. And he may have the biggest desire. But he's just an ant. So what's he going to do? In fact, you don't see ants jumping at all. Really, if you watch ants, they don't jump. Maybe. If you watch them closely, you might find them jumping. So, you know, we're constrained. So, if a living entity may have desire, but if they've acted in ways that are impious, they may be trapped in that situation where they have a subtle body but no gross body within which to enact or to pursue activities that will help them satisfy their desires. And what does Prabhupada say that is? What is that state of being? What is it called? What is it? Huh? Yeah. Well, but what is it? What does Prabhupada say it is? That state of being. What does he say? This ghostly position is very what? Huh? Painful. Because a ghost has intelligence, mind, and ego, and wants to enjoy. But he doesn't have a gross material body. Ooh, hellish, right? This is, you know, in one sense, if we analyze, if we look at the material creation, what we notice is it is basically designed for suffering. Right? There's a hell of a lot of suffering goes on compared to all of the enjoyment that you can have, right? So, there's a remedy for that. There's a remedy for that situation. And this is why there's this emphasis on the Shraddha ceremony and so forth. And Prabhupada mentions here, if one worship, and so here, you know, this is all coming out, this is all describing the structure or the structure of the universal affairs of the universe, and how the living entities can use these material facilities for material enjoyment, right? We are Anandamaya Bihasat. We are like Krishna. Krishna is an enjoyer. And we're like Krishna. We like to enjoy. Anybody here like to suffer? No. Masochism is even considered to be a form of enjoyment. Some people like to suffer. They get pleasure from it. Right? But generally speaking, most people don't like to suffer. They want to enjoy. It's natural. And so we can. The material energy is designed in such a way so that we can enjoy and satisfy our desires. But at the same time, also, we have to employ or utilize this material facility that we have to make spiritual progress. And so here, if a person has degraded themselves so much that their next lifetime they become a ghost, there is a mechanism by which that can be rectified. Right? And the Vedic system is that the son has to perform the... And I think this is one of the reasons why boys in India kind of worship like demigods. Right? If you don't have a son, you've got a daughter, it's like, oh boy, what, whew, you failed. Huh? The boys shouldn't think that they're so good, though. This is the part of the problem. The mothers worship the sons, and then the sons get puffed up. Huh? Yeah, and Prabhupada says here, from time immemorial in India, the son of a dead man goes to Gaya and at a Vishnu temple there offers oblations for the benefit of his ghostly father. Because we can do it anywhere. We don't have to go to Gaya. So it's interesting. There's a system for countering any kind of impious activity that's going to restrict us, you know, having to take birth or becoming a ghost. In other words, a disembodied living entity is a significant restriction on a person. It's a punishment. But according to the Bhagavad Gita and to the Bhagavatam and to the Vedic culture, if you like, or the spiritual, according to the spiritual culture that's presented in the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, in the, what we might call the Vedic system, is designed to ameliorate any of these restrictions, so that one can be freed to act on the liberated platform, or at least make progress towards acting on the liberated platform. And so how do we do it? What's the system? How do we do it? Very simple system.
Offer the food.
Offer prasadam. Now, you know, this is why prasadam distribution is so important. Huh? You know, sometimes the devotees get tired of distributing prasadam. Oh, it's just sitting, standing at a counter, serving food. Right? I'm a brahmachari. I shouldn't have to do this mercantile work. I should be a preacher. Huh? Have you heard that? If you haven't, I have. Oh, this is just hard work that we shouldn't do. Right? It's for sudras. But this is a material observation of what's actually going on. Huh? But the delivery of prasadam to the devotee, to anybody, delivery of prasadam is a sacred duty of the devotees. Right? It's a sacred duty, and it has powerful implications, powerful ramifications for everybody concerned. Right? Prasadam distribution is so important. That's why Prabhupada said, let every hungry man of Melbourne come and eat. Right? The Prabhupada instruction. And right from the beginning of his preaching, Prabhupada encouraged prasadam distribution. He was encouraging Sally Butler in Pennsylvania to open up a restaurant. Right? This is right at the beginning of the Prabhupada didn't even have ISKCON at that point. And Prabhupada was convinced of the potency of prasadam distribution. Right, in this case, you don't even have to eat it. You just have to be offered it. Right, this is all going on a subtle level. Right? The very, very subtle level here. It says, you just offer the prasadam to the departed relatives and they're freed from that. Right? They're freed from that. So, you know, this is just on the subtle level, what to speak of actually feeding people prasadam, giving them prasadam. Right? All you have to do is offer it on the subtle level and it frees them. That is pretty far out when you think about it, right? People, this is just hard to test also. Right? But see the potency of the foodstuff offered in sacrifice for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. And of course we all know the potency of prasadam. Right? Anybody here doesn't know the potency of prasadam? No. And here's what Prabhupada says here. If one is habituated to taking the prasada of Lord Vishnu, there is no chance of his becoming a ghost. Right? No chance. And here's where Prabhupada says it here, or anything lower than a human being. So you have to habitually take prasada. So, you know, we've got people who eat at Crossways and Gopals, you know, almost every day of the week. What's that a symptom of? If you're regularly taking prasadam, what does that mean you are?
A devotee.
Yeah, you're a devotee. This is a symptom of what a devotee does. They take prasadam. When I had my first meal of prasadam at the temple, after leaving, I was just thinking, how can I go back to the temple and have some more prasadam? Wow, this is so good. Huh? There's a special... And just like the other day, we were having lunch. And... Atul Krishna was having lunch with us. What, were we having a meeting or something? What was that about? I can't remember.
Today.
Huh? Today. We had a meeting. Atul was there, up in my office. What was that? You went there. And Atul was saying, there's nothing like Radha Balabha Mahaprasadam. You know, I remember when Atul had just joined the temple, and he used to clean the kitchen and divide the lunch prasadam, and then or different order, divide up the prasadam, take it upstairs. Or actually, in those days, the prasadam hall wasn't upstairs; it was in where the theatre is. That's where we're going to eventually we'll relocate the prasadam back over here. And I remember Atul would do the divide, serve out the prasadam, go and clean up the kitchen, and then he would bring his alfoil mahaprasadam and have prasadam. Even I remember myself doing the same thing, dividing the prasadam, then serving it out. Only I didn't stash anything. I remember serving out the devotees, you know, and there'd be three more people at the end of the line, and there'd be one burfi sitting in the plate. And then I'd be praying to Krishna. Whatever happens, it's okay. Because, you know, around here, for some reason, you know, in a neophyte, I think it's neophyte stage of existence, you fight over the burfi. When you get to my age, you just don't eat burfi. Eating burfi, it's too rich and too much sugar. But so we think, oh no, will I get the burfi or not? So there's a taste to, there's a particular taste that one gets from honouring Mahaprasad. And Prabhupada says, a person who is habituated to taking prasadam, actually they're a devotee. That's a symptom of a devotee. Krishna, can you get me a Bhagavad Gita, please? Read the purport. Read one purport. Yeah, it says here, and this is powerful. If one offers oblations with faith and devotion, either to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu or to his representative in Pitriloka, Aryama. Right, so Aryama is a representative of Lord Vishnu. One's forefathers will attain material bodies to enjoy whatever material enjoyment is due them. Powerful, huh? Now, let's see if I can find that verse. What's Yagya Shishtashana? Let's look it up. Does anybody know where that verse is? Yagya Shishtashana Shanto. Huh?
313.
313, is it? I'm looking in the wrong chapter. 313. Yeah. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sin. Sins, not just. Because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. The devotees of the Supreme Lord, or the persons who are in Krishna consciousness, are called santas. Right, this is Christmas time, right? They worship Santa. They should be worshipping the devotees because they're the real santas. Because Santa means peaceful. Right? This is what. No coincidence that they're called santas. Saints. In other words, this is where the word saint comes from. What? This is where the word saint comes from. And they are always in love with the Lord, as it is described in the Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. Santa. Right? Santa Sadaiva Vidayeshu Vilokayanti. The santas, being always in a compact of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the giver of all pleasures, or Mukunda, the giver of liberation, or Krishna, the all-attractive person, cannot accept anything without first offering it to the Supreme Person. Well, because it's like in recognition of where everything comes from. Krishna, this is yours, please. You enjoy it first, because it belongs to you. And then I only enjoy things that have been offered to you first. This is the mood of a santa. He's peaceful. Right? Although sometimes we see devotees fighting over prasadam, so how santa are they? Therefore, such devotees always perform yajnas in different modes of devotional service, such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Archanam, etc. And these performances of yajna keep them always aloof from all kinds of contamination of sinful association in the material world. This is how important honouring prasadam is. It's a prophylactic. It protects one from the influence of material energy. Powerful. Because the consciousness of the devotees that are preparing the prasadam goes into the prasadam. Huh? So it's being prepared not with a sense of enjoyment, but with a sense of with a sense of detachment. So when we eat food that's been prepared by devotees who have that sense of detachment, then what happens to us? Yeah. Although why are we fighting over the prasadam? Attached to Krishna is okay. The fighting over it? Stealing? Well, we become crooks. Well, this is in appreciation of the value. Others who prepare food for self or sense gratification are not only thieves, talking about thieves, but also the eaters of all kinds of sins. How can a person be happy if he is both a thief and sinful? It is not possible. Therefore, in order for people to become happy in all respects, they must be taught to perform the easy process of Sankirtan Yajna in full Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there can be no peace or happiness in the world. Listen to this. This is why it's so important, you know, and why we distribute prasadam. Food offered to Lord Vishnu, to Krishna, can counteract all reactions of past material infections. Now, Prabhupada says here, you guarantee, if you habituate to take prasadam, you not become a ghost. And you will not get a form less than a human being. And this is just, it's so easy. All you have to do is eat. This is a great relief. Can counteract all reactions of past material infections which are impediments to the progress of self-realization. Oh yeah, here it is, what Prabhupada says. Food offered to Lord Vishnu, to Krishna, no, to Lord Vishnu, and then taken by us makes us sufficiently resistant to material affection, and one who is accustomed to this practice is called a devotee of the Lord. Right? This is one way that we make devotees. Well, we feed people prasadam. It is not a material activity. A purely spiritual activity with great benefits to the distributor and to the partaker. Right? This is why Prabhupada envisaged restaurants. It looks like it's a business. And it is a business, but it is a purely spiritual business. This is not a material activity. This is a spiritual activity because we're distributing the remnants of food offered by the Lord. So, we need to open up more restaurants and do more prasadam distribution. How's that sound? This is the purport for us. The action that we need to take. The actions. And we should do it in a spirit of giving. Tadati pratigrinati guyamagyati prichati bhukte bojayate chaiva. Right. We live to distribute prasadam. Right? And we shouldn't begrudge the prasadam that we distribute to others. You know, we shouldn't hoard it or just try and keep it for ourselves. You know, there is this kind of this mentality that we have to avoid. And it's common in neophytes. Especially here in Melbourne, we see the people who distribute prasadam, they start to think like it's theirs. Right? And they commandeer it. And then want to boss others around. And we should keep an eye on it because, you know, it gives us a bad reputation. We have devotees who, when they're serving out prasadam, all of a sudden, because they're in some kind of controlling position, then they want to lord it over others. And how do they do that? Does anybody know how they do that?
They give only one piece, maybe last two pieces or something like that.
Yes. If somebody says, "Can I have another piece?" they say, "No." "Can I have another plate?" "No." Their friends come along, they'll give them two pieces. Right? Or they'll give them another plate. If somebody they don't like comes along, "Nah." Right? Not funny, because people get offended. People get offended, and we shouldn't offend people. We're supposed to be pandita samadarshanaha. But this is an illustration of it. Like one time Prabhupada was getting very angry with people, and they were saying, "You should be pandita samadarshanaha." Prabhupada said, "I'm not on that platform." Right? And besides, Krishna says that you're a rascal, and I see you as a rascal. Right? But you know, when we're distributing prasadam, we should be doing it in an equitable. Oh, there's a few things actually. When we're cooking prasadam, we should be doing it free from attachment to the result. There are some devotees who are making the offerings, but before they come, they bring their tiffin. Wrong. Or they're cooking the prasadam, but they're thinking of giving it to their friends. Now, seriously, this is a very poor mentality. We shouldn't be doing this. We should prepare the offering. And it's for Krishna. Because if you're thinking about distributing it to others, you're thinking about enjoying the result. This is a very dangerous mentality. We should be preparing the prasadam for Krishna's pleasure, and we're going to distribute it to everybody, not just our friends. Well, our friends will get some too. Everybody, this is, and you know, if we're cooking, and we're thinking, oh, I better bring my tiffin so that I can get the result. This is not good. We're meditating on the outcome of our offering before we've even offered it. So this is called, what is this called? What's that called?
Prakriti Bhakti.
Prakriti Bhakti, yeah, why not? What else is it called? Sikadev, what is it? Me. Me first. Not Krishna first. And Krishna first is a subtle thing. Very, very subtle thing. The quality of our prasadam will be determined by how much we are free from meditating on what we get out of it. And most of us are functioning on the WIIFM frequency, right? What's in it for me? Frequency. But a pure devotee is not thinking of WIIFM, it's FK, for Krishna, not for me. Idam Krishnaya, idam namama. This is the mantra that's chanted after we offer the oblations into the fire. Idam Krishnaya, this is for Krishna, idam namama, not for me or my friends. Interesting, right? This is real offering, free for. And it may be hard. It will be hard. It is hard. I remember, you know, I'd be thinking about that bit of burfi. There'd be three people to go and I'd be praying, Krishna, don't let them take the burfi. Oh, actually, no, the prayer should have been, Krishna, whatever happens, it's okay. And, you know, often as not, I got the burfi. So Krishna looks after us. And you know, when we're keeping things for ourselves, that means we don't have trust or faith that Krishna will protect us. Whereas one of the symptoms of surrender, we were discussing the other day, Gop-trit-ve-varanam-tata. Right? That Krishna is my protector. We have to cultivate that mood. So prasadam preparation and prasadam distribution should be done with the right mentality in the devotees. It's so important. We should be off, especially when we're cooking for directly for the deities. There shouldn't be any tiffins or deals done beforehand, or we, you know, when the offering is done and the plate comes off, then we bring in some boxes and then start filling up those boxes for ourselves or for our friends. That is not good. We should just be freely distributing it, and don't even take anything for yourself. This is the nature of this is why a devotee will cook, offer, and then just give it away to everybody. Huh? That's the right mentality. That's the proper mentality. That mentality has great power. That kind of prasadam has immense potency to liberate us and others, because it's all done purely. What's it called? It's a jagya, huh? It's a sacrifice. It's an incomplete sacrifice if we're thinking, "Oh, I'm going to take some of this for myself." Not really a sacrifice. But a real sacrifice is, Krishna, this is all yours. I am yours. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think that's right. That's what I read somewhere. And so, you know, we actually have devotees in our community who go to the kitchen and look in to see what's been cooked on the offering. Which is just terrible. Terrible. That is not the right mentality. The right mentality is, so, you know, the pujari turns up with his tiffin. This is not good, not good, not good. We need to train the devotees better. or with their boxes or whatever it is. Well, we shouldn't do that. This is not the right mentality for prasadam distribution. Or certainly not the offerings for Radha, not the deity offerings. We do catering. If you want some prasada for your friends, have a chat with Manmohan. He does the catering. But then you pay for it. Right? You pay for it. And that's also a valid transaction. Right? It's valid. Just like when you come to Crossways or Gopals, you pay. Even better that you pay, in one sense. So, Prabhupada put a lot of emphasis, you know, Prabhupada said, is it we kitchen religion, powerful stuff, very, very powerful. You can't defeat somebody with a philosophical argument, but you can beat them with a cauliflower pakora. Yeah. You know, he wants to argue with you, forget about it, yeah, have a pakora. Cauliflower pakora with tomato sauce. Tomato chutney, right? That Bengali chutney. You know, the tomato chutney, the sweet one. What does Prabhupada say? Too hot to handle, too sweet to resist. Right? The Bengali chutney. You know the chutney I'm talking about? The Bengalis cook it. You always get a sweet tomato chutney at the end of, you know, you get the shukta, then the shak, right? Then the sabjis, the rice, and at the end they give you the sweet chutney. Nothing like Bengali cuisine. Where's Madhijichi went?
It has nuts in there.
Yeah, sometimes cashews. Yeah, not peanuts, but cashews. Yeah. Bengali cooking is pretty special. This is a prasadam of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada too. Okay, so yes, we should meditate on prasadam distribution. We had people ringing up all day yesterday. Where are you going to have your Christmas lunch? You going to have it in the same place? I said to Chintri, we'll go somewhere else. This is how attractive prasadam is, right? There's a select group in Melbourne who know that there's the Hare Krishnas are having a special feast. And this is the potency of prasadam. The prasadam is... they're meditating on it all year, actually. Oh, what's a chicharupa cooking for lunch on Christmas Day? And even then, for Snan Yatra, you know, whatever. Nabadri Vishri and all of the devotees preparing offerings for Lord Jagannath. Govardhan Puja, Jagmastami, we cook. And, you know, it's just part of culture, part of our... Bhavananda used to tell us how in Calcutta, at Janmashtami, the wealthy residents, the wealthy bhaktas of Calcutta, don't they push the money in the donation boxes? Yeah. Somebody else will get the benefit of putting it in. Not you. They would worship they would have their temples and where they would worship their Radha and Krishna, and they would spend large amounts of money cooking offerings, right? And then they visit each of their friends' temples or their homes and just observe the opulence of their offering. They wouldn't eat anything for themselves, but they would just observe the opulence of each other's worship and then distribute to others. This is actually our culture, that we cook, offer, and then we distribute. And we know that, you know, if we do that, we're not going to be hungry. You won't go hungry. Just like, you know, I'm not hungry. Are you worried about getting something to eat at breakfast time? You worried about that? Huh? Anyway, are you worried about what you're getting, that you'll get some breakfast? Anybody in anxiety about whether you'll have lunch today or not? Not here, as far as I can see. But you know what it is? It's not so much, you know, it's the pakora or the gulab jamun or the jalebi or the cream cake, right? It's not so much the form of the prasadam, but the fact that it's prasadam and then it's been offered to Radha Ballabha. It's that taste, you can't get that anywhere else. Huh? And neither can you buy it. You can be the most wealthy man in the world, but you cannot buy that anywhere. In fact, that taste really can only be relished. It is only relished by those who are dedicated to serving Krishna. The devotees really relish that, even if it's just in a chapati or a chickpea. But it's the same taste, actually. When we see the cream cake, we think, oh, wow, got to have the cream cake. But regardless of what form it manifests in, it has potency. That's the level of Krishna. That's where we really should be. But of course, that's not going to stop the fights over the Mahaprasadam. It's been going on since time immemorial. Like Prabhupada says here, what is it? From time immemorial in India. These things have been going on since time immemorial. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions?
One comment. Few years back, we had bushfire.
Yes.
And Vasaras told us how grateful people were when they were getting prasadam and lassi.
Yeah.
So yes. Grateful they are from such remote area, you know. So much fire.
Yep.
They said Hare Krishna are the best people.
Yeah. Especially when you're a hungry man.
And fire. Or wrong fire.
Yeah. That was, yeah. Rasa?
Shraddha. Shraddha, anything offered with faith and devotion?
Well, oblations, here it says, right? For the benefit of his ghostly father.
I've been looking it up online. It's also in general. Probably the same devotion. But in general, Shraddha is anything offered with faith and devotion.
Mm.
So, an oblation is for Shraddha.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, sure. Why not? Yep. You know, when we perform devotional service, I was just reading this the other day. When we perform devotional service and we offer the results of our activities to Krishna, then thousands of forefathers, Prabhupada says, are benefited. We sometimes become familiar with what we're doing to the point of neglect. We become neglectful. But the potency of serving Krishna, Radha and Krishna, and is immensely powerful on that subtle level. We're not seeing it. But on that subtle level, we're benefiting. I found out the other day something my father didn't tell us. Interesting. And how my father did it was in, how he did it. He told my brother to get a copy of my grandfather's death certificate. Right? And this is before he left his body. And then on the death certificate, we discovered that my grandfather had committed suicide, which was quite an embarrassment, I guess. And my father didn't tell us. But he arranged it in such a way so that we found out after he left his body. So then I was just thinking then, I should do something for my grandfather, but then I'm thinking, I've already done it. We're already doing it. We're offering everything to Krishna. We should be offering everything to Krishna. So grandpa, grandma, you know, everybody. And Prabhupada says thousands of forefathers are benefited by just serving Krishna. And of course, serving Krishna wholeheartedly. So I was just thinking about my grandfather, but I don't have to worry about him. We chant Hare Krishna and everything's fine. And I remember the day when my father, grandpa passed away. It was a big shock.
No doubt we've all been ghosts in the past.
Huh?
No doubt we've all been ghosts in the past.
Many times. Yeah. Still haunted by my past. Yeah. How fortunate we are. Speaking of which, it is now 9 o'clock. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mahaprasadam Ki Jai. Korma Prabhu Ki
Jai.